Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ola, it's Miles. Thank you guys for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast.
Have you heard our newest podcast? It's called The Greatest Story Never Told.
Download it today on radio.com. Be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded every Tuesday at noon.
This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. Kicksville. The drippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Wish you all the welcome to listeners to our great radio stations like 96.5 WCMF, Rochester's Classic Rock, also our friends in Kansas City, at 98.9 Rock, Kansas City's Rock Station, and 98.3 The Keg in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Today we're talking about duos. Question quite simply, who is your favorite duo, and what is the story that you tell about you and your partner in crime? 844-999-OLA.
A couple more examples rolling in. It says, my favorite is Robin Big. Old school with Desi Arnaz and Lucille Ball. That's strong. One of the more modern combinations would be Kevin Hart and The Rock. And if someone brings up the obvious, which of course is Batman and Robin, here's the thing.
Is it?
Robin, look, everyone's down with Batman. He's cool, he's tough, he's all those things. Even with Adam West, you know, Robin just got his ass kicked all the time. They are a very well-known duo, but in the end, really, you only invite Batman to your party. Robin just shows up because you know he's going to show up with him.
Yeah, from the intellectual emails, my wiener and my girl's buns. That from J.W.
Brother, you have no idea what's coming in on the comments. I have heard more anatomy analogies.
Oh, right?
Oh yeah. And everyone has a different word for the same two body parts.
Who is your favorite duo, and what's the story you tell about you and your partner in crime? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Wes. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and pick Beavis and Butthead.
That's
right.
A good call.
That's very strong.
That's pretty solid. I haven't watched it in a while. I'm curious to find out how that holds up, simply because, like anything else, when you watch something the first time, it's groundbreaking, it's hysterical, it's funny, and then you go back and watch it again, and is it as funny after you've seen South Park or other, you know what I mean?
I've seen it fairly recently with the kids, and it is, Beavis and Butthead is exactly what you remember it to be.
Yeah, they're Wayne and Garth.
It's entirely inane, right? And it's nothing like the other animated shows. It holds up because it's still this very singular, odd.
How about Donkey and Shrek, then?
Yeah, you can't have one without
the
other.
Three movies, right? Four movies now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about that. Okay, well,
are you still bitter about, Lethal Weapon? Is that what this is? Because you wanted your one movie duo. We gave you a three movie duo. And you're like, look, no one's going to argue Donkey and Shrek. They might not be your favorite, but clearly,
they're important.
Okay. They got three movies out.
Who's your personal partner in crime?
So, my personal partner in crime is Jason. And I'm not going to upset Mike and talk about the time we almost sank a Mustang in a lake for an insurance scheme. I'm not going to talk about.
Why didn't
you want to? Into a bar fight.
Why didn't you want to talk about that?
The time. What's that?
Why didn't you want to talk about that?
I got a security clearance. I don't really
want to. Oh, I see. That's probably a smart idea. Mike,
then why did you even bring it up? I'm not going to talk about the time that I killed three hookers in Vegas.
That's right, yeah.
Hey, just to mess with Mike, because I wanted to see him throw a chair.
All right. So what did you guys get into?
So we would party over at my buddy Jason's house, and he had his own house, and the kitchen had this really long hallway, and we were drinking. And I said, hey, my mom works at the elementary school. Let's go to the elementary school. I know that the janitors never get the kickballs off the roof of the elementary school, and this thing is huge. So we go over there, he gives me a leg up, and I start chucking kickballs off the top of this elementary school.
How many do you think were up there?
I'm going to say about 40, at least 40. So we've got all these red kickballs, and we put them in his hallway into this room, and Jason was already a construction worker, so he's like, screw it, I'll fix it later. So we had this big party, and all of our friends, we started running down the hallway, and we would slide on the kickballs and slam into this wall, and I'm surprised to this day that nobody went through the wall into the backyard.
All right.
Yeah, no holes in the wall?
No, there was holes in the wall, Ted, definitely. All
right. He said we didn't go through the wall. Yeah. Right.
Man, kickballs haven't been, right. That's a word that hasn't been said on these airwaves in a long time.
And it means something different now. It means balls that you kick. I will tell you this, though, man. I'm 51 years old, and that sounds like a lot of fun.
It sounds awesome.
Slide on a kickball.
Well, that was back in the Jackass days.
That inspired. You know what, man?
That's why I told a story earlier today about being in a little container and having people push me down ramps.
I just read this. I was preparing for Big Dummy last week. I didn't bother to ask this, but so like the ball pits for kids, like Chuck E. Cheese and all that thing.
Is that gone forever?
Man, you know what? I didn't even think
about
that.
Have we seen the last of the ball pit?
They were disgusting in the best of times. I mean, they were filthy in the best of
times.
You
can't clean them.
Right? There's nothing you can do.
You can't clean every individual ball in a ball.
The guy that came up with the idea of a ball pit, right, you know, throw the kids in there, have fun. Do you know what his inspiration was? And this is so pathetic. It was...
Water?
I don't know.
No. It was, he was either at a bar or at a grocery store, but there was like a gallon jar of little Vidalia onions. And he thought to himself, it would be cool if I were tiny and could like jump in with all these onions.
Huh.
So he just made everything bigger, said, hell of it. I'll make a pit, throw some balls in there. Mm-hmm. There you go.
You know those gross little white onions?
Yes.
You get on the relish
floating
tray?
In the jar. They're okay, man.
You're right. They're not very good.
I mean, they're kind of low-grade ghetto onions, but they taste fine.
Mm-hmm. Who's your favorite duo? And what's the story you tell about you and your partner in crime? This comes our way. We got this one yesterday. The 23-year-old guy named Derringer Barton and another 21-year-old named Blakely Marsh. They were at the Applebee's in Kingsport, Tennessee on Saturday night, and they were upset when the bar manager announced last call, 10:45. What did they do? They started flipping tables in the restaurant.
Come on.
It wasn't just them. It was everybody in the restaurant.
Everyone. It's
what happens when you say it's last call. The cops came and arrested them in the parking lot. Derringer went in his truck, so he was arrested for driving under the influence. Blakely was arrested for public intoxication. But yes, we were shocked to know that you could go to a bar and restaurant and sit down. You can, in fact, in Tennessee. But even with that, at last call, these guys couldn't keep it together.
They gotta go.
Started flipping their stuff.
They're just throwing miles. I think you'll agree with this 100%. Trey Parker and Matt Stone.
Yes, they are. As far as comedy goes and the amount of comedy that they've supplied over the years.
Because right, you don't see them. You know, they provide it, they write it, but they're not kind of in your face. That's what I like about them.
And they are, I mean, as far as, look, if it's a week that they need to get a show done or whatever, they are pretty timely on episodes. They might have episodes that they've never even aired before.
Because they had to remake another one
because
something happened.
Based on the fact that something so big happened that you just couldn't ignore it in the news and, you know, quick rewrite. Now all of a sudden, you know, it's relevant. And I think that's the most amazing part about South Park is how quickly they make that show relevant and then how they take their story and transform that into the path where you go, oh, I see what they're doing.
Right, 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 right.
This is what they're emulating. This is the point they're trying to, while still being funny.
They are masters of that. A lot of people are all about Ren and Stimpy. Ren and Stimpy pop up here probably more than any other duo that I've seen. Someone says, George Pitt and Clooney. Thumb and Louise, of course, right? Someone says, what about Miles and Thurl? I told them, they suck. Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous.
Has there been that big of a duo in sports where there's just two people that absolutely dominate with a team for a number of years? You know, you can say the Patriots, all right? But the Patriots have had a makeshift running back every year. You know what I mean? They've always
had a rotating guy. Brady Gronk.
I mean, but...
But it's still all about Brady, because Gronk's the kind of guy, whoever throws to Gronk, Gronk's going to get the ball. So Brady didn't have much to do.
But even in 3 years, Randy Moss had more touchdowns for the Patriots than Gronk did in his career.
All right, what about this? Belichick and Brady. Belichick's left, but that's the duo you talked about. That's one of the few teams where it was the coach and the quarterback, period.
And you brought it up earlier, but the Bash Brothers were pretty massive. They won championships, right?
Well, I guess the difference is with the Patriots, you're talking about 9 Super Bowls.
Appearances, sure.
You're talking about six wins. Super Bowl wins. So I don't know.
I mean, you put Michael and Scotty in there, or Michael and, I mean, I'd say Michael and Phil, but Phil did it in L.A. as well.
Right. Phil did.
Kobe and Shaq you could put together. Kobe ended up getting another one, but him and Shaq were pretty dominant.
Right, but the fact that they were together, there was no question who was going to win the championship.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. And I think that's the difference. But, yeah, in NFL football, it's tougher, man. I mean, it's because even in the Cowboys during their heyday, it was the triplets. Right? Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith.
And, like, back in the day, right, with hockey, who was at the Edmonton Oilers, right? You had Messier and Gretzky.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, the Penguins had a couple years like that, too, with Mario and Yammer.
Yeah,
that's pretty good as well. Ben and Jerry make the list. Ben and Jerry as far as the two guys with the ice cream. That's a pretty good
combination. How do we not think of it, man? Absolutely.
Ben and Jerry, man. Pinky and the Brain, another odd cartoon mashup there. Bacon and Eggs make the list. And there is your
Bacon
cheese
and eggs should.
Yeah, so this is Ranker, right?
Also, the Blues Brothers.
Yeah, that's a strong one.
That is. That's
what about beer and whiskey?
Beer made it on. There was something else. I don't think things like beer and
beer
pizza
and pretzels,
or beer.
Yeah. Maybe something like that. Our question, who is your favorite duo and what's the story you tell about you and your partner in crime? 844-999-OLA.
Here's the strong one, and obviously we're a little biased because we're in radio, but Howard Stern and Robin Quivers.
Oh, for sure.
Right? Yeah, they've been inseparable. Years. How long has dude been on the air now? It's got to be.
I mean, since he was in New York, that started, right? That wasn't Washington, D.C. Robin was the. Was she in D.C.?
I think. And I'm trying to remember back to the movie Private Parts. Have not seen, it's actually a really fantastic movie. But I want to say he hooked up with Robin in D.C. And then when he got the gig in New York, one of his things is like, hey, I want to bring this chick with me. I think that's the case.
It's March of 81, D.C.
So they were at D.C. 101?
When she joined, I want to say, is when that
in
took
81.
Place.
Mm-hmm. My God, man. And think about, like, they're still together, doing their show.
She went to Baltimore in 79,
mm-hmm.
went to Broadcast Institute there.
Yeah,
Broadcast Institute of Maryland.
I see that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm raking in the dough like she is.
DC 101, it used to be one of those radio stations where the same guys were on the air for 23 years.
Yeah, sure.
He moved on to New York. Who is your favorite duo, and what's the story you tell about you and your partner in crime? 844-999-OLA.
Tenacious D and, or I'm sorry, Jack Black and Kyle Gass for Tenacious D. Very strong. Hello, Ron. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bichola.
Hola. Ron, hang on 1 second. All right, we're trying to figure out our NFL duo. All of us call ourselves NFL fans. We should be ashamed and flogged. Someone says Montana and Rice.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on. Yeah, absolutely.
That was close.
All right, Ron, hang on the line.
We're out of time there, Ron. Who is your favorite duo? What's the story you tell about you and your partner in crime? 844-999-OLA. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hola, bichola. You have entered the men's room.
Who is the dynamic duo and partner crime? That'd be a mom and a daughter. As we go to Wisconsin. The mother and daughter, and this is going to just make you really, really, really upset, Steve.
Oh, thank you in advance.
Allegedly pepper sprayed employees at a Mount Pleasant sandwich shop last month have been formally charged. Tamia Westbrook, who was 18, is charged with 3 felony counts of using pepper spray during the commission of a crime, causing bodily harm, and 3 misdemeanor counts of battery, disorderly conduct, criminal damage to property. Here's what went down. Her mom, who is 37 years old, Laquanda Westbrook, also of Milwaukee, is charged with disorderly conduct as well as criminal damage to property, according to the report. Three employees at Potbelly Sandwich Shop. That an angry customer, later identified as Laquanda, entered the sandwich shop and started arguing with the staff over service.
Black.
Another woman, later identified as Laquanda's daughter Tamia, also entered and started then to shoot pepper spray at the three employees on the shop's floor and all over the shop's food. After Tamia reportedly pepper sprayed the three employees, the two reportedly started throwing items from the counter at the employees. And they left in a silver vehicle. But guess what? They couldn't see. So after this happened, all they saw was a blur.
Right.
They are having silverware and crap being thrown at them. They are already pepper sprayed in that position. So, you know, when paramedics and the police arrived, they said, look, we think it's a silver car.
We think.
It's two women. That's what we know. All right. So the cops are like, well, that's not a lot to go on. There's not much we can do. Well, leave it to these two. Basically, what they did was they drove to another Potbelly sandwich shop in the greater Milwaukee area. And when they got into the Potbelly shop, they bragged about what they had done at the Mount Pleasant locations to the workers there, joking about it. Laquanda then paid for their purchase at the store with a credit card in her name. And video footage of the incident and social media allowed the police to identify Tamia as the person who accompanied her mom because they are on two videotapes, one in a store causing a problem, the other one, they went in and bought their sandwiches.
This is one of the few times I'm happy that someone is stupid. More than any quality you can have, being voluntarily stupid is something that disgusts me.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that they were stupid enough. Look, if you pepper sprayed someone at a different radio station, mm-hmm. and then you came in here for an interview and said, oh, I just pepper sprayed so-and-so, like, we would not be happy about that.
You understand when you go to a place that's service-oriented, and you can tell the difference between a service-oriented place and one that is not a service-oriented place. And we talk about those places all the time. Chick-fil-A is famous for the people there just being really super nice all the time, accommodating, cooperating, you know, the whole deal. Whatever your issue is, they will take care of a Chick-fil-A. You know for a fact you're never going to have a problem if you buy anything at Nordstrom.
Right. Spray it back, no questions.
Well, I'm telling you right now, as far as these types of places go, and we've been to different ones, and depending on who's working, I've never been in a Potbelly where the people there weren't some of the nicest people you will ever meet in any establishment. They just always are friendly to me. They always have a smile on their face, have suggestions, like, have you tried the new one? Have you tried this?
Sure,
last time you were in here, you got this and this and this. It's always just really, really pleasant. So I can't imagine getting two. And then you know you're getting a delicious Potbelly sub at the end of this. And they are fantastic.
I just don't understand why people. It seems that the less money you spend, the angrier you're going to be, right? So we say, like, at McDonald's, God forbid your ice cream machine is down or whatever, because someone's going to jump over the counter and attack mm-hmm. you. Or
it's always on the counter.
Throw a coffee cup through the drive-thru window. Again, it's McDonald's. The menu doesn't change. You know what you're paying. And the people there don't get paid enough to care about your own little personal pissing at problem.
Right.
They just don't. Potbelly, more expensive than McDonald's, but not expensive. Yeah. Again, they're making sandwiches.
They don't care about your problem.
The Waffle House, Denny's, the Dollar Store. I mean, there are two different dollar stores where horrible S went down, and you're like, bro, it's the Dollar Store. Like, again, get your expectations in check because you understand where you're going. Get pissed if Ruth Chris overcooks your steak because you're spending $40 at least.
But they'll redo your steak.
But they'll redo it. Yeah. I'm not saying flip it to Applebee's, gets tables flipped over. Again, like, why is it that the cheaper places get all the S?
I think it's just our society. Everybody just thinks they're right. I will say, though, I don't think you should be that kind of person in any of the place. But also, sometimes I go to
Veggie Grill, you know,
fancier restaurants, and I'm just like, yeah, this service is just a D.
Yeah, you do get that.
That might be a Seattle problem.
You think?
I think it happens more in Seattle. Seattle's got a certain attitude.
Seattle's got a different vibe to it. You don't hear hospitality in Seattle in the same sentence. You hear that with New Orleans. You hear that with Houston. You hear that with different cities. Atlanta is hospitable. But Seattle, you get like, well, it's nice. People are nice.
They're decent.
They're nice people. Who is your favorite duo, and what's the story you tell about you and your partner in crime? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Ron. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bicholas, again.
Hola.
So, Ron, who's your favorite duo?
I'm a little older than some of your people are calling here, but I live out Abbott and Costello.
Wait, how old are you?
I'm not. I'm a little older than you.
Okay.
But you said you were 51 earlier.
That is correct.
Anyway.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. How old are you? 55?
No, I'll be 53 in June.
Okay, you're almost there. So did you watch their movies growing up? Because Abbott and Costello, they were the duo that always put themselves into a position that was the popular thing at the time. So in other words, if Dracula was huge,
right,
it would be like Abbott and Costello meet Dracula
sure.
Or Frankenstein or whatever it was.
Right, that was their whole thing.
Yeah, they take the main thing. Right now it would be like Abbott and Costello hang out with a Mandalorian right. And have COVID-19.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like they'd be with a bounty hunter, cracking jokes, coughing on everybody. You know what I mean?
sorry.
Exactly.
Well, one of my favorite gigs was Who's On First. I could watch that over and over and over again.
Man, I'm telling you, but they came from a time that's now just an absolute lost art,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, it's just a lost art where just the spoken word was enough to carry stuff, but that's one of those classic, everyone can hear it, you can read it, and you go, like, yeah, it's all right. But to watch them perform it, you end up in hysterics. Right?
And I will say this, as far as the same vein of that goes, one of my other favorite Who's On First type moments is an airplane. When all of the pilots and all of the crew introduce themselves to each other. It's like, Captain Unger, over, done. Like,
right.
It's this little thing, back and forth, like for like 2 minutes on this thing.
But they're the ones who basically created that whole, and like you said, it's almost like, let's say almost any movie you watch now is a ripoff of some Shakespeare. Basically, you know, how you play it out. Not Shakespeare directly, but Abbott and Costello, so much comedy you see now, not even just their comedy, that one routine is 40% of the stuff you see, somehow that qualifies for how you choose to write things. Mm-hmm.
And people also get them confused, Abbott and Costello, with Laurel and Hardy.
Do people or do you?
Who also yeah. did that same kind of thing. They kind of blend, don't they? Laurel and Hardy.
I'm with you, Miles. They're
it seems like the same.
They're so long ago, right, you kind of confuse
them.
They're
in black and white, and you know it's two dudes.
Right.
I mean, but after that, I want to say that Laurel and Hardy are a little more subdued than Abbott and Costello.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's about it.
Okay.
And they were easier to identify because one was tall, one was kind of fat.
Who's your favorite duo, and what's the story you tell about you and your partner in crime? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Alan. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hola.
So as far as my favorite duo, it would be from yesterday, long-winded Jason and his racist mom.
Okay.
No, it's Calvin and Hobbes. I grew up on them. They're awesome.
Yeah, that was actually one of the strips that was worth reading every day.
Yeah, well, and they actually make Ranker's List as far as, top 75, whatever it is, duos.
I was one of those dudes who read the funnies every single day because that was the only part, really, right. The newspaper that I cared about. And to be honest with you, I want to say in my world, 15% of comic strips were worthy of my daily enjoyment.
Most of them were not, but
Mother Goose and Grimm was always pretty
good. They were awesome. Yeah. Far Side was awesome.
I was like Tank McNamara, some sports stuff.
Tank McNamara. Yeah.
Right.
Very good.
Sure.
Who is your partner in crime?
My partner in crime was a buddy of mine named Georgia back in the day. I got a wild hair up my butt to move to North Carolina from California. And
that's a stupid hair. That's not a wild hair. That hair is dumb.
Mm-hmm.
I eventually found that out after about 2 months.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
home with my tail between my legs. So you're right.
Yeah, but you know what? But they do when you leave the state of California. They give you an entire pamphlet. Like, you're from California. Never forget. Always tell everyone, and you'll miss this place. And always lay down. You don't know where to get tacos. There's this whole list of things that Californians take with them when they move to other states. You know?
And it's very disappointing when you get there. You're right. On the way there, we were in Kansas City, and we were about to run out of diesel, and so we pulled off at the gas station, and I got out to go pump the gas. My buddy got out to go pay the lady. I get out and am quickly approached by a prostitute asking me, "Hey, white boy, what are you doing?" And my buddy went up to the window, and all of a sudden he comes and says, "We got to go. Let's go. They're out of diesel." I'm like, "All right." So we get back in the car, and years later, we're at a bar with a bunch of friends, and he tells me what really happened was he went up to the window, and the woman behind the bulletproof glass said, "Honey, I don't know what you and that giant white boy are doing here, but you need to get back in that truck, and you need to drive somewhere else to go get some diesel." And so, yeah, I was.
Now, let me ask you this, because in Baltimore, D.C., if somebody said that, it's not because they had a problem with white people. It's that they didn't want you to be murdered.
Correct.
So was it that, or exactly. You think she didn't like you?
No, it was that she did not want us to be murdered.
Right.
At least not on her property.
Liking has nothing to do with it. Whether she likes you or she doesn't like you, she's trying to save your life.
Honey, you shouldn't be killed today.
Right, exactly. Even though...
Baby, what are you doing? You're obviously from out of town.
Where did you live in California?
The Bay Area.
Okay, and then where did you move in North Carolina?
Just outside of Chapel Hill.
How much money did you save moving from the Bay Area to Chapel Hill, North Carolina?
That's not a bad area of North Carolina.
Yeah, but that's like saying this part of the turd isn't as gross
as you have. Did you have khaki pants?
I mean, I was in my early 20s, so of course.
I was going to say, you got to figure out how to blend in North Carolina.
That's called camo.
It's a button-up shirt, light starch on collars. It's a button-up. It's typically...
What are those stupid loafer
J.
shoes?
Crew. You need some boat shoes. You definitely need to fill...
Docksiders?
You got to blend into the Tar Heel, Duke Blue Devil kind of
the
look.
The only thing that has ever...
Oh, no, I'm a Tar Heel fan through and through. No Blue Devils.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, Chapel Hill.
I will say this, though. Docksiders and Uggs are the two shoes I have hated the most. And I hate Docksiders. One, they're just ugly and they're stupid. But then the people that wore them, at least on the East Coast, were people that you wanted to beat to death with the baseball bat that you lit on fire, dipped in fentanyl, and added nails to. That's the way you felt about it. And I thought, man, I will never see a shoe that I hate more. And then Uggs broke big. Not all Uggs, but they're like the Paris Hilton Uggs.
Right.
I'm like, I have finally found a shoe that makes me want to beat people more than Docksiders.
Dude, look, I'm with you. The Docksiders, I never liked that look. But it's still prevalent.
Yes! If you get a...
One thing I'll give the Crocs is the Docksider seems to be the predominantly white dude, whereas Crocs go all across the board.
Crocs go across the board, but it's like one of those things, like if you get on a plane, depending where you land, you know where you are. So... When the COVID thing first kind of hit, whatever the local hospital is, they flew in people from around the country for some kind of like training thing. All right. So they were in our building.
There was a strike going on. So there were.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
There were a couple thousand nurses that flew in from all over the country.
But we nailed Atlanta. There was a woman on the elevator.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, well, I flew from the East Coast. Like, you're from Atlanta. Say, like, how'd you know? It's like, because I'm looking at you. Like, you're from Atlanta because you look like you're from Atlanta, and everyone in Atlanta dresses, acts, looks, and speaks exactly the same.
Right.
North Carolina, if you have sleeves on your shirt, you're wearing Docksiders. If you don't have sleeves on your shirt, maybe it's a different look. Everyone from Philly, you know where you've landed.
Oh, you don't even need the signs up. I'm pretty sure you can walk through an airport, walk through the terminal, and figure out in a general vicinity where people are traveling to. Trust me.
Within 50 miles.
There are times where I can just walk up and go, this is the Seattle gate. When you take out all the things that you see everywhere else.
So right? You're talking about now you're going to depart. So right, you're in an airport. Yeah. You have to find the city where you're going to based on the people waiting.
Zero jewelry, first clue.
Yeah.
Zero makeup, second clue. No colored clothing allowed.
Nope.
Everything gray and black.
And more tattoos than
everything
me.
Dark. Most people, even in 89-degree weather, for some reason, in long pants.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it right away, and you go, backpack.
The backpack's a huge giveaway.
Yeah, no jewelry.
Like, there's our gate.
Yeah, that's it. We're going to Seattle.
But also,
if
you're flying to Dallas, Texas,
you can tell.
Because you will think that perhaps there's a photo shoot or fashion show with ugly people but dressed very well. And you go, no, that's the gate to go to Dallas. Sure.
And even if you're in Dallas, you don't know what the hell's going on. You walk a couple gates down, everybody's in burnt orange. Like, that flight's going to Austin.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
You can,
Jesse, would you
that
you
is
can
not an exaggeration, man. My parents lived in Austin for a while, flew down one Christmas to go visit them. I had not been there before. I get off the plane. The entire interior of the airport is that burnt orange for the school, right? Every person walking in that airport, if they lived in Austin, they had orange on in some capacity. Most people were straight up all orange because that's the Texas way. You want to match head to toe. You look stupid, but it's what they do, right? Otherwise, you had a hat, you had a sweatshirt, and if you didn't have either of those, your pants. How many grown men have you seen in burnt orange pants? Well, if you go to Austin, 50% of them. It is unbelievable.
But they do a good job.
Yes.
Like, I remember sitting at a lacrosse game at Johns Hopkins University, and we looked across the way, and there was another team in the stands, and I remember somebody being like, who do you think that is? I was like, that's Texas. And they were like, they don't have lacrosse. At this point, there was no Division I lacrosse teams across the Mississippi, and I was like, that's burnt orange. That's the University of Texas. They had a club team that had come up from Austin to watch a Hopkins game.
If somebody has a satin jacket,
a bowling jacket,
all right.
I'm guessing Ohio.
Has their name stitched in it, all right, in cursive, all right? And it's that old school jacket, you know what I mean? Like with the cuffs on it that have the stripes and everything. Right. They're going to Reno because there's either a bowling or a cribbage tournament going on.
See, I was thinking Cleveland.
Had both of them when I was there. And everybody had a satin jacket on with all the names of their sponsors.
Then I feel like Reno and Cleveland, they can throw you off. It's a game show, okay? So there are two games. Now, sir, your goal is to get to Cleveland. When you get there, you get $1 million. You see, there's two games. There's satin jackets here. There are satin jackets. One of these is going to Cleveland. The other's going to Reno.
Sure.
What's the one thing that could help you determine? Like, am I going to Ohio or am I going to Nevada? I don't know.
Cowboy boots.
Yeah.
Reno's cowboy boots. If you see
white high tops or Cleveland.
If you see white in general at all, white shoes, white pants, white shirt. There's only one city in North America that can supply this habit. And that is Miami, Florida.
Say Miami.
If you go to Miami, it it is all white. So if you see the white tournament,
everything else you will burn to
not
death.
Not the people, the clothes.
Oh, the people are not white.
No, the people are not white.
The clothes are white.
The clothing is white and tight. And that flight is going to Miami.
White and tight. Get on the flight. Welcome to Miami.
Somebody smells like a horse. They're going to Denver. Who is your favorite duo, and what's the story you tell about you and your partner in crime? 844-999-0.
Everyone else we can identify by what they're wearing, but with Denver,
there's a mile high smell to that.
Damn, you smell like a horse.
I feel like the Denver people and the Seattle people are a little. Denver people just have a little more color,
like
in their clothing.
Yeah,
also in their complexion because they get sun there all the time.
I'm still thinking about one of the best butts I ever seen. That flight was going to Jamaica.
Really?
Yeah, I was just walking by, but I was like, I'm going to watch this one board.
It is amazing that you can remember the best butt you've ever seen.
Yeah.
I remember the best ass.
Wasn't
I've
the
ever
Cuban
seen.
Weather woman?
No. Trust me, this woman. I mean,
I think the best one I've ever seen is in Portland, Oregon.
So I was talking to a coworker of ours, and we've both had this experience. His experience was just more recent. And he said he gets up very early in the morning to come into work. He's that guy. And he's like, man, I'm outside. I'm smoking a cigarette. And he's like, this woman has walked by and just has the most fantastic ass I have ever seen in my life.
Wasn't he on the phone with his buddy?
Yeah, I can't take my eyes off of her. And that's what made it worse for him, because he's saying to his buddy, our buddy Marshawn, basically bragging, Marshawn, you wish you were here to see this ass. And this woman turned around, and it was a dude.
Oh, yeah.
With a great ass,
though.
With a great ass.
You can't take the ass away from him.
Day 60.
Yeah. Stopped caring.
COVID 7.
Yeah, totally. Guys' night out.
You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We return to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Who is your favorite duo? And what is the story that you tell about you and your partner in crime? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Jay. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, Jay, who's your favorite duo?
My favorite duo right now is Elon Musk and his wife.
Why is that? Because they have an unpronounceable name for their baby?
Funny you should say that, Thrill. Someone worked out how to pronounce that. Would you like to know how?
Yeah.
All right, it's really, really simple. First letter X in the Greek alphabet apparently is pronounced as key. That A-E symbol is pronounced like an I. And if you take the A, go to the 12th letter of the alphabet, it's an L. So they took the most extra and bougie way to name their child Kyle.
Kyle.
All that. To call him Kyle.
Okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
Are you an Elon Musk?
I mean, this should at least be like, you know, manifesto or something. Good Lord.
Are you an Elon Musk fan?
The only thing I really liked about Elon Musk is the man made a flamethrower and said it is, quote unquote, not a flamethrower, when indeed it was a flamethrower.
All right.
And tried to market it.
Okay. Well, who is your partner in crime?
My partner in crime is my old friend, Andrew. If we go back to 2004, we had just turned about 13 or so, and his dad decided to take us to our first pro wrestling show, independent show. And, because we, you know, young guys, just hitting puberty, we had a lot of mentality to start heckling all the wrestlers and whatnot. And, you know, you get your normal you suck and everything else. And there was this one particular guy who came out, and I'm trying to heckle him the whole time he's out there. I'm trying to heckle him and nothing. Finally, there's a moment where there's a dead silence in the crowd, and I call out his name, and the guy turns and just gives me a death stare. And I just shout as loud as I can, F you. Loud as I possibly can. And the person to my right just looks at me. I look to my friend. He's kind of got his hand in his head, or his head in his hands. His dad's kind of giving me this look. And next to me says, kid, I think you took that a bit too far.
Yeah.
Migs from BJ and Migs, he does a lot of independent wrestling. And I follow him on Twitter. And
MegaCast, great duo.
It's interesting. There you go. It's interesting to see just, you know, in any other sport, you take your kid to a baseball game, to the Mariners or a football game, whatever. You expect them to get excited. You expect them to cheer and everything else. But you don't expect them to say, like, F you! And all that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But for some reason, wrestling gets this pass with parents and children, apparently, where kids are almost seemingly allowed to say some of the most vile things to an adult that could ever be allowed.
But I think
in
it's
anyone's
this.
Home.
But it's this, all right? So look, I don't like the New England Patriots, but when they introduce them, it's not like Brady ran down the field, looked at me, threw a football at me, and said, "Suck on the Brady train," right? So, you know, they walk out and kind of give it to you, and they want it back. So it's a little, whatever I think of the Patriots, I'm never just going to yell F you to Belichick.
But the NBA guys
but
are right
Belichick
there,
typically. Walks out.
I think the big difference is, right, you see little kids say stuff like you suck and everything. Right. I think that's part of his story. F you.
Right. Like, whoa. Well,
easy.
Well, yeah, all right. Yeah, exactly. Dial it back.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's kind of like, I don't know. I always think about sporting events, too. Like, I give people a lot of crap, but don't curse
that. Does that happen at the thing you do down in Tacoma?
Well, Kate Sport.
I mean, you can talk trash, but he doesn't want to. I mean, no offense, wrestlers, but these are real fighters that know how to fight.
Right, wrestlers
that
are
coming
big,
out with their fight team. So you can chirp if you want.
I would not. I mean,
I wouldn't want to mess with the team.
Or
any of their friends in the audience either, for that matter.
Somebody was chirping me one day, and my buddy who's a fighter and runs a gym, Eddie Blackburn, he was like, I was like, no, we're fine, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, right. Again,
you got to be an idiot to talk trash in those arenas.
Football players, I'll make some fun, but I don't really talk trash. And again, they probably can't hear me. And if they can hear me and they turn around, I'm one of 70,000 faces. There's no freaking way they know it's me, right? When you see boxers, like, there's boxers I don't like. And if I were in Vegas for, you know, the big fight, I could boo or I could cheer, but I'm not going to yell something terribly offensive or personal to you because, one, you're a fighter. But
at WrestleMania, you would.
But again, it also depends kind of what the expectation is of your governing body. So in the NFL, there's the players, the Seahawks, whoever it was, last season. I basically went up in the stands and was looking to beat the piss out of a guy. Well, that's problematic. The NFL doesn't tolerate it. Baseball won't tolerate it. Boxing, it's like, yeah, the manager might say, yeah, I wish my boxer hadn't done that. But that's the beginning and end of that. I mean, look at Conor McGregor, right? He's beat the piss out of like 8 people, beat up some old dude, you know, because he didn't want to drink. And in the end, I mean, he can apologize, but there's no real punishment. So don't yell smack to those people.
Yeah.
That, right. You need to
You can talk to basketball players on the pro level to some degree. College, it's just too loud. It's too structured.
Yeah, but remember, in basketball.
And baseball. I've seen chirping in baseball and basketball from fans to players.
But basketball, they will go up in stands and beat your ass.
Yeah.
I mean, also, too, when you're down there, you realize how big these guys are.
Whether
they can fight or not. I mean, when a guy is 6'9" and he's an off guard,
it changes my trash talk.
Right. So I think a lot of people, right, like, I don't know. Like, right, in basketball, like, somebody goes in, like, it depends on what you say and how you say it. The best story I can tell you is Cam Yards when it opened in Baltimore, right? It's kind of famous for having this standing room only right by the bullpens.
Yeah.
Now, it was impossible to get a ticket. So my brother and his buddy Doug, they go, right? And Doug is just giving some pitcher in the bullpen, like, the hardest time. And finally, the guy just turns around and is like, hey, like, the hell with you, fat boy. What have you done? And, like, calls him fat boy, like, 8 times. And he's just like, shut up.
Yeah.
But nothing worse than trying to insult a player than getting your feelings hurt.
Didn't you tell me that, was it you or somebody else, like, bummed a dip off of one of the pitchers?
No, so that's the same, right, so Arthur Rhodes threw, because he was playing for Baltimore, he thought it was funny, and he would throw up his tin, you could take a dip out of it. And toss it back down. That was my brother, too. The problem is, my brother, who didn't dip at the time, almost pukes his brain out.
That's a problem.
Because they were like, give us your tin, and he was like, yeah, sure.
I do remember when the Sonics were still in Seattle, we went to the game, we're basically courtside, not quite courtside, a couple rows back. I don't remember what you said, like Duke sucks, something to Grant Hill.
All I said was, go Terps.
Mm-hmm. Right, right, right.
Because he went to Duke, home. And he just said, go home.
But it's
and
different.
We're like,
he's a large man.
It wasn't even funny, but we lost it.
Well, it's just...
Because he turned around and looked at you.
Yeah, he didn't miss a beat. He just said, go home. But which... Yeah. Right, that was like, as you'd say, like, Grant Hill, nice banter.
Yeah, that was fine.
You know what I mean? Fine.
Oh, we used to do it to Bobby Bonilla all the time, man, in Three River Stadium, because he was a Pirate. And then he got traded to Mets, or I can't remember where he went next or whatever, but he was still on the outfield. So, in Pittsburgh, there's no one in the outfield. Our thing was, we're going to catch home run balls. The kids have the outfield.
We
got a few.
Okay.
Running up, not catching one in the air.
Right.
Running up to the section and grabbing a ball or two. But my buddy's just chirping to Bonilla, like, you traitor, you suck. And Bobby just turns around, puts both birds up like this, and just holds them up there for an eternity.
I met him in Disney World. You. Couldn't have been nicer.
Yeah.
He didn't flip you off.
Apparently he's a great guy.
He's super nice.
Who is your favorite duo, and what's the story you tell about you and your partner in crime?
Hola. The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.